Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello. How are you? You all right? Good. I'm glad. I hope you are. I hope everyone's cool. Had some lovely messages and some lovely words from some listeners. A nice one for that. Thanks to Lee Brown for your continued support, mate. Nice one. Che Woodman, nice one for getting in touch. Lindsay Bradbury, nice one for continuing to like all this stuff and getting involved. That's great. John Tracy, you know, man. John Tracy, I've never known a comedy fan like it. His energy is incredible. So big shout out to you, John. Also, I'd like to say a big shout out to my man, Mr. Luke Benson. He now lives in Melbourne, I think he's moved out to. I just want to say, nice one, man. I'm glad you're doing all right. I'm glad you're in a better place. I was surprised to read your message. Luke and I go way back. We've known each other years. We sort of started comedy together. Nice one, man. I'm glad you're all right, and hopefully I'll get to see you next year if I come out. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, hanging around. Puggle McPuggles on the Twitters there, thank you very much for that the other day. I really appreciate that, with the get a heads up about the Scroobius Pip album on vinyl. A bit skint in a minute, so I've had to let it slide, but thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. I'm sure it'll come up again. But yeah, nice one. Very much appreciate that. And another shout out to my main man, Mr. the Big Steve Priest. Hope you're good, mate. I still see you liking and sharing and all that. Nice one, brother. I hope you're well. Cheers to everybody. Again, if you listen to this and in you know, you feel like dropping me a line, be it good, be it bad, you know, get in touch. Just send us a message. I do reply to everyone. Eventually, I'm so shit at admin. It's unbelievable. But that's the thing. I didn't get into this to do admin. You know what I mean? Supposed to be a bit of fun, innit? But, you know, that's what I say, a bit of fun. I mean, this is, you know, the podcast isn't supposed to be a bit of fun. I mean, comedy. I'm doing a podcast, you know, just to talk to you guys, you know. But it's the admin, man. I'm so shit at it as well. Like, having to book gigs, I'm terrible. Terrible. Having to email people and say, can I come and play your gig? I don't know what I'm scared of. What am I scared of? It's ridiculous. I'm 47. I mean, they're not... Hopefully, they're not going to turn around and go, no, you're shit. We don't want you here. I don't know what it is. You know, I imagine you have the same shit as well. And whatever you have to do, you know, it's weird, isn't it? Like... I'm scared of contacting people. It's mad. But yeah, nice one for getting in touch. And do feel free to get in touch. Do feel free to jump up on iTunes and that and give us a 5-star rating and a thumbs up and all that, because then it pushes us up the charts and then it gets people noticing. They go, oh, what's this? And then they click on it and then they have a listen. And then we get more people in our little group. So if you can do that for us, that would be fantastic. So this week... I was very lucky to have been joined by a man called 76. At 76, I met him again through the Hardcore Listings boys. Nice one to Chris and Stu once again. Honestly, if you haven't got onto that, get onto that Hardcore Listings. Stu's got Off the Beat and Track, and it's all through the Distraction Pieces Network. Good lads doing good things. And 76 does the production, I believe, and the editing for Stu, a lot of Stu stuff. He's also a hip-hop producer and breakbeat guy. I've listened to some of his stuff. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But he's a smashing dude as well. And big up to his girlfriend as well. Hello, Tash. Hope you're well. Both lovely people. You know, again, you know, human beings. They've been through some shit, but they've come out the other side. They're doing all right. So I got him on. I'm quite a few ahead with some of these. I got carried away and interviewed a load of people, so I've got a few stacked up, but we're getting through them. So some of these would have been recorded like a couple of months back, because again, I worry that where I've done things before and I don't follow it through. I didn't want this to just, I'd start this and then it failed, so I went all out and recorded a load of interviews with a load of people. So this would have been recorded sort of the beginning of the summer, I reckon, would have been back then. Him and Tash, lovely people, came down and we had a chat in the flat. So get on it, people. 76. It's like with gigs. If I like people, I like more of a chippy inner crowd. I was in Istanbul recently, not bragging, it was only in and out, one gig, flew in, flew out with Jade. And I was on first, and the audience were all chipping in. Mm. All I did was I had a conversation with the audience.
Yeah.
And it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I bet it was organic. They were on the journey.
Yeah, they were like, there was no malice with them. They were just going, they wanted to speak. And I was like, fine, let's have a chat. And then Jade went on afterwards, they'd done all the speaking.
Yeah.
And she just did her thing. It's like, brilliant. And
that's
doing
nice
this, doing with podcasts and that, I like it if someone's around and chipping in, and it makes it more exciting for people listening.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's so a bigger conversation.
So yeah. So Tash, mate. So at the moment, I've got 76 in the room. He's come down to Leon C to tell me all of his stories.
Are we recording?
Yeah, mate. And his missus is right over by the window on her blower, as typical. You're not doing anything for the feminist movement by sitting over there being a typical woman. Yeah, you've got a glass of rosé, you've got your blower, shoes off, on the couch, don't give a fuck, mate. She don't give a shit about the family.
Should be in the shower
before
you.
As long as you clean it.
Climb some of Jade's stuff.
Yeah, that's it. That is not where the underwear goes. On your head, like Spider-Man running around. 76. Is that when you were born?
I was born in 1976.
Yeah, mate.
On the hottest day on record, May the 7th.
Yeah, right, of course. Yeah, it was heatwave, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you popped out. Your mum and dad knew, obviously, that there was going to be hot time.
It was going to be hot summer, so yeah.
So like, right, we'll have
put
sex
my mum through it.
Yeah, shit.
Not only is it going to be red hot in Alcet Hospital, but also you're going to have to do a lot of pushing and puffing and
packing. Yeah, walking around with you inside her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was 6 foot as well.
When you at the time. Wearing your mum as a suit.
Yeah, I was, yeah. Yeah, I could see out of her eyes and breathe out of her mouth. It was incredible.
This is a weird pregnancy, eh? Yeah, we'll go with it. No one said it's different. So you were born in 76.
I was.
Where was that, in Essex?
Yeah, in Alcet, in Essex. Alcet Hospital.
Alcet.
Yeah, so I've lived in Essex all my life.
It's funny, isn't it, the word Alcet in an Essex accent. Alcet. It sounds like you're dropping the H.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah. That was Horset. No, it's Alcet.
It is Alcet.
Alcet.
Yeah.
And you're...
And it's full of stables as well, so it's full of all shit. So you can
rhyme. Alcet's in Alcet.
Yeah, Alcet's in Alcet. Alcet, full of all shit. Yeah. That's what they chant.
Is that what they chant?
Yeah.
Where'd they chant that? At the football?
They in the people who live in Greys like me.
Oh right,
you stand on the edge of Alcet and chant it.
Right. People living in Alcet. Ah, yeah, right. Yeah. Is there a Greys Alcet rivalry?
Yeah, because Greys is a shit on Alcet. It's lovely.
I said this to Stu on his what was it? I think we were doing off the beaten track, and I drove to his house and said, "Mate, have I just seen a sign for a beach?"
Was it in inverted commas?
It was brown. So I thought, well, that must be the state of the beach.
Yeah, it is, yeah, Brown Beach. That's a euphemism as well, by the way. That's what happens if you go down there.
You get a brown beach.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Alcet?
Well, no, I was born in Alcet.
Born in Alcet.
So I grew up for the best part of 3 hours in Alcet.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Just in the hospital. Yeah. And then I lived in Corrinham, which is about 4 or 5 miles from Alcet.
Okay.
Lived there till I was 5 or 6.
Yeah, right.
And then moved to Grace. I've been at Grace since I was 6.
What was that like growing up in Grace? Because I've got to be honest, I don't know much about this area. I've only lived here a year and a half.
Where did you live before this?
I've lived all over. I'm from Kent originally, sort of Kent, South East London border. So, and now I live over enemy lines in Essex. Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah.
Kent can fuck off. Sorry, anyone listening from Kent, I love you all, but fuck off.
Yeah.
You're the reason Farage exists, you fucking pricks. So anyway.
That's all I had to build that big. That big moat. I can't remember what they call it. Is it the Thames?
Well, the Thames, yeah. Yeah, the big moat. Yeah, just to keep the cunts out. Yeah. Well, I was a cunt for many years and then decided to...
And now you're slightly less of a cunt.
Now I'm less of a cunt, yeah. I don't know. I keep saying this to people. I'm really surprised about Essex and how... Like, Towie is a really bad example
of
what Essex is about, because Essex is actually pretty cool.
Essex is massive.
It is massive, yeah.
Yeah, it was way over there on the couch.
Still over there, she's not coming
I
over.
Said it's Tasha,
she's chipping in honest. She's chipping in with her eyes.
Yeah.
She's got her glasses on now, so you can see what's going on.
But even, you know, that record shop that we love, the one in Frinton, that's what, nearly 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And that's still in Essex.
But when I saw your post, I'm like, oh, yeah. I said to Jay, said, well, why don't we drive up to the coast? And she's like, yeah, all right. I knew exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
And when we got there, she's going to listen to this. She's going to go, you cunt. I'm like, oh, look at that. That's amazing. What are the chances? Yeah. This is amazing vintage, this charity record shop.
Yeah, listen, this coincidence is never going to happen. I better pop in there for
better pop in and spend 60 odd quid.
Yeah.
But it's massive, isn't it? Essex is huge.
Essex is massive. So, yeah, Towie doesn't represent
it's like Essex one town, it's like Chigwell. So,
Brentwood.
Brentwood, yeah.
I mean, when you go to Brentwood High Street, it's lovely. Brentwood's a nice place, like affluent, lots of big houses, lovely parks, etc. But you do get that lot up and down the High Street.
Yeah, okay.
You do.
All the stereotypes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Their slip ons, no socks.
Oh, God.
Girls out in their curlers all day up and down the High Street getting ready for the night out that evening.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? They just...
It is in Brentwood.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't know anyone who's in that much of an hurry to be out, like going out with your curlers still in.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's like they're letting everybody know
that they're going
I'll
out.
I'll be out tonight. If you're going out, you'll see me later.
Oh, I see.
Post-curlers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I see. Do you do that, Tash? I'm bringing you in.
It's like you spend the whole day...
You have to come over now because you're talking. You've got to come over.
The audience
can't hear you. Come on, Tash. Come on. Here she comes.
There you go, she's got herself involved.
Tash is getting involved in. It's the curlers that did it.
It is, yeah.
We knew we'd get you somehow. Rosé wine, glasses on, curlers.
That's a nightclub name.
Is it?
Rosé wine, yeah.
So your curlers. So your curlers, mate. Curlers.
Yeah, why are you going to go out with curlers in and your slippers on? I assume
there
were slippers.
Yes.
There's slippers on as well.
Yeah.
Why?
Like that all in one, like matching.
Down or whatever.
Not Velcro, velour, whatever it's called. Like.
Oh, velour?
Jogging.
Attractive.
Outfit that they don't jog in, but that's fine. But then with slippers and curlers in.
Say hot stuff.
What are they going out for? Just to show the people that they're going out later?
Just like getting their nails done or having a wax.
Yeah.
Getting their hair done. Yeah.
You and go
then
out.
Then they spend that all that time to transform themselves into this whatever it is they look like when they get out, and I just think, what's the point? Everyone's just seen you.
Everyone's just seen you at your worst.
Yeah.
Oh
God, it's.
I'd rather just be seen at my worst, so everyone knows what they're getting.
Go out with your curlers in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's why Tash was attracted to me, because I was looking at my worst. You actually see me at my best.
Only one way to go after that.
Yeah,
it is. So where did you two meet then?
Well, we met because of Hardcore Listening.
Oh, did you?
Because of the podcast. So Tasha's one of our listeners. And what I love about the listener base is that they've all become like online friends, I suppose, haven't they?
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
So there's probably, 10, 15 people, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, who all now interact and are friends with people. So then when we have the live shows in London, they'll come from miles around.
Yeah, right.
And meet up at the live shows.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Then be that little group at the live shows.
Yeah.
So... Like, you know, I share conversations with people, etc. But you know, Tash and I were having little conversations here and there.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? When you meet someone and you're like, oh wow, you're amazing. This is, and then they go, yeah. Do you want to see my luggage? And then, and that's all of us. We've all got, like, when Jade and I got together, you know, I had more baggage than a train station lost property, mate. You know, so it takes a while to sort of get rid of it.
Everyone's on their own personal journey, aren't they? They're on a different journey. You might meet at the right time for you two to meet.
Yeah.
But then one of you's in a different place to the other.
Exactly that.
So yeah, yeah, when we were talking, we hadn't. I didn't know what Tash looked like.
Oh, what online?
Like? Yeah, no. Like, it was just like Twitter conversations. But there was, but there was definitely like a. I found myself kind of drawn to her online Twitter account, bizarrely. I didn't know why, but then you know, Tash said she felt the same way. Out of all the people that we were talking to, even though I had no idea who she was, what she looked like, even if she, you know, she might have been a guy, for all I know.
Yeah.
Well, the mind
plays. No, we've not found out yet. How long have you been together? You just go, and tonight's the night, the big reveal.
Yeah. You know, Tash, up to that point, Tash had been on a different journey.
Yeah.
And
I was
going through my journey. So, yeah, I'm the one with the recent baggage. And
yeah,
I kind of had that experience myself.
Way before.
You'd already gone through it.
A couple of years prior.
Yeah. So yeah. you could see his baggage and. And he was waiting to see yours.
Yeah, it's just the way I was sitting.
Yeah, it's the way your trousers hang.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's about 2 years ahead of me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that's...
I'll catch up.
Yeah, yeah. Good. It's funny, though, because I didn't realise that the baggage I had was... I'd been lugging it right throughout all of my relationships. Mm. There was stuff I hadn't dealt with from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That I hadn't... I just didn't realise that, like... Mm. Just being I've got a selfish streak in me a mile wide that I battle with all the time, and I'm an angry little cunt as well. Or I have been, and I didn't realise, and you know, why? I didn't know why I was angry and fucked off, and so that's why all my relationships have ended in absolute catastrophe.
Yeah,
and me going, well, it's fucking them anyway. They don't get me, and then one day you kind of go like Jay to go. You need to go and fucking talk to someone.
Yeah.
You angry little shit.
That's how they say, if you're pointing a finger at someone, you're pointing free back at yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you become a common denominator.
Exactly.
Oh, similarly, you know, all my stuff was like childhood, without a doubt, that I didn't know how to deal with because I was a kid, and that manifested itself in anger.
Yeah.
But my anger was never outward because I didn't know how to deal with it.
No.
So it was all internal.
Internal.
It wasn't until like X amount of counselling that I had that we worked out that it was actually anger that was the overriding emotion.
And it could,
but I still find it difficult to understand what emotions I'm feeling. All I know is there's a physical sensation in my body, like my stomach or my chest or my brain, but I don't know what to associate it with.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
It's only recently, I couldn't tell the difference between anxiety and excitement.
Okay.
I would be like, pardon me, I'm going somewhere, oh God, I feel weird.
Yeah.
And then... talk to my mate, he goes, well, you're anxious because it's a new thing that you're doing, you're also excited because you're going to do it, so it's all sort of the same. Sometimes
it's that adrenaline kicks in, it's overwhelming.
And being, I mean, I'm a bit older than you, but being that we never really talked about feelings when we were growing up, you know, it was only, I wasn't as closed off as a lot of people, like my mum and dad were still very open, I guess, but it's only been in recent years when I've gone, actually, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, and I don't know what to do about it, and opening up. And I think you seem to be on the similar sort of
path. I didn't really start. In fact, I started my first counselling when I was like 37, 38.
Yeah.
I thought to myself at the time, I wish I'd done it back in like my early 20s or my teenage years.
Yeah.
But then maybe I weren't ready then. Maybe I wouldn't have absorbed it. I think I went for one counselling session when I was like 23, 24.
Mm.
And just being who I was then, just thought, all right, cool. Tick. Done that. I feel better now.
Yeah, that's it. But you don't realise, it's a project.
One hour doesn't untangle 23 years worth of complexities. No. So doing it later in life, it's almost like now I've done it now, I almost feel like I've been reborn, as it were.
Yeah.
And I'm a lot fresher to move on and to grow now.
Yeah. I always feel I want to go back to everyone, like my ex-wife and everyone, and just go back and go, I'm really sorry about that. It was me, and I'm really sorry. But I was talking to someone about that, and they went, no, they've got their own shit going on. Yeah. Are you fucking going back and going, hi, I'm arrogant enough to think that you still give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've already put you in a little box, going, you know, a little box marked prick.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's where you reside, and that's where you're going to reside for a long time. So what you can do now is, going forward, make sure you don't do those mistakes again, and you're not an angry little cunt going forward, you know.
Which is kind of a decent filter for any human being.
Yeah.
Learn from your mistakes and be better the next day.
You can't go back.
No.
You can't. I mean, you might, at one point, you might bump into someone from your past, and that which I've been lucky enough to do, and say, I met someone at a gig, and she came up, and she goes, I didn't know you were a comedian now. And I'm like, yeah. She went, you were a fucking cunt to me. I was. And I'm really sorry. And she said, I know. She goes, I know you're not a cunt. You were just being one, which was the difference. That's when I started to realise the difference.
Yeah.
So there is that. And sometimes you get an opportunity. But more often than not, you don't. But you just got to move forward, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like you're doing, it seems to me.
Yeah, try my best. I thought I've had this motto for like a good few years, just be better. Like, why wouldn't anybody want to just improve themselves and evolve and be better? You get one opportunity, one life.
True.
You don't want to drag yourself down. Some people are completely resistant to that change.
Mm.
They don't know they're supposed to, or they just think, right, well, this is me, like it or lump it.
There's that, and you hear that, people go, oh, a leopard doesn't change its spots, and you can't teach a dog new tricks, and you're like, actually, you can. You can change all the right up until you die.
Yeah.
So, there's always just room for change.
The muscle memory in your brain.
Yeah.
Arrogant and think they don't need to.
That's the trick, isn't it? If you're an arrogant little cunt.
Yeah.
So where did it come from? Do you know all this, the anger and frustration and the?
Yeah. So when I was.
Tasha's taking a deep intake of breath.
Oh, it's fine. So when I was 11, I think I was at senior school.
Yeah.
And my parents taught at my school.
Oh bloody hell! That's gonna make you angry.
Yeah, it's furious. So I was, my mum was a French teacher and my dad was a PE teacher.
Okay.
Luckily for me, my dad's super popular.
Yeah.
Like my hero, like a super good dude. And my mum was an arsehole.
Oh, right.
So she started, and this was national news, by the way, so this might not be news to some people, but she had an affair with one of the kids a couple years above me at school.
So, when
like you read that used to read that in the paper all the time. It's almost like she was ground zero for that.
Fuck.
Because it was in every paper. It was on the fucking telly.
What year was this?
So if I was 11 or 12, it would have been 88, 89.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Just around the time that It Takes a Nation of Millions by Public Enemy came out. So Every Cloud.
Yeah. Holy shit, man. How did you do
hip hop got me through all that. thank you, Public Enemy.
From the hood.
Did. Just as a quick aside, me and Tash went to watch the group A Midnight Hour a couple of nights ago, which is Ali Shaheed Muhammad from A Tribe Called Quest.
Right, yeah.
Adrian Young, hip hop producer, and some other guys. And I met Ali Shaheed afterwards.
No.
Because Tribe and Public Enemy got me through school and college.
Right.
Like, I used to listen to Nation of Millions and Low End Theory. I told this to Ali the other night, that I went through 3 LPs of Low End Theory and 2 cassette tapes.
Fucking
hell.
Because
I used to listen to it all the time.
Played it to death.
Yeah, but it's one of those albums that just helps you through.
Yeah.
Whether the words are or not, yeah. Yes, so that was that. So I had to essentially go into school every day knowing that
after the
everyone else at
after
my
the
school,
story it broke. It broke.
But everyone knew anyway.
Everyone knew what was going on.
They would see him go into a class at break times or whatever, or driving him off, giving him a lift home, etc., etc.
No way.
So like 800, 900 kids knew this, and that's what I had to walk into every day. But like I said, luckily my dad was a superstar,
yeah.
So I was protected a lot.
Okay.
There was obviously a bunch of kids that thought, like, this is fair game, and used to like destroy me every single day.
Yeah.
But for every one of those kids, there was like 20 kids who were just like, cool, that would look after me. So it was a gift and a curse, really, I suppose.
Fuck.
I think if my dad didn't teach there, I would have been fucking ruined. But then he actually left to go to another school when I was in the third year. I don't know what year that is now, like year 9, I guess. So that kind of left me on my own. But he gave me the choice. He said, do you want to come with me and come to this new school?
Yeah.
Or do you want to stay at this school? And I chose to stay at the school because all my friends were there.
Yeah, right.
I wish I'd gone, to be fair, but then my life would have been infinite. I can't even begin to imagine where my life would be at the minute, because that was up in Epping Forest.
Yeah, right.
So it was a big old journey, so I thought, no, I'll just stay where my friends are.
So you wouldn't be where you are now.
Yeah, and I think it's because I had that protection and, you know, a lot of people on my side versus that. Yeah, so that went on for like the 5 years I was at school, then the first few years of college.
It went on for 5 years?
She went to prison, didn't she?
Yeah.
Did she?
Mm. Yeah, because, yeah, like embezzling money.
What?
School.
Your mum. This is your mum.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah. It's mental. It's on the front page of the Sun.
Was
the
it? Mirror. I would have known. I don't remember it, but I would have known about it.
Yeah, especially if you were local, like if you was around Essex, right, etc. Yeah, so yeah, that was just enormous. But I seem to sail through it.
Yeah.
Because like whenever there's a problem, like the bigger the problem, the calmer I am about it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Which is bizarre. But maybe that's just not dealing with something at the time. So I just kind of sailed through it, and I was more concerned because I've got a younger brother.
I've got
three younger brothers, but at the time I had a younger brother who's 4 years younger than me. So he was 8, 9, 10, 11 when this was going on. Just seeing how she used to manipulate him, like let him down. For example, like when like she finally found out, there's a ton of stories I'm not going to share on here.
No.
But yeah, when it was all found out and it kicked off and she finally moved out, like she would do that classic shit parent thing, like I'll come and pick you up at the weekend and we go out and then never show up.
Oh God.
All that kind of
stuff. Yeah.
Or asking my brother to ask for pocket money off, like when my dad finally met, I call my mother now.
Yeah.
Like she'd ring and say, can you ask to borrow a tenner off her for pocket money to give to me?
Fucking hell.
So I can see that whole manipulation, that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the biggest thing was, is because I knew it was happening way before my dad did. At like 13, 14.
So you knew what was going on in the school and you were put in that position where you couldn't...
Well, like when my dad would go out and work,
yeah,
I'd be at home and she'd have him round.
What?
So when me and my brother were in bed, I knew they were downstairs.
You're fucking kidding.
Or like we'd be somewhere, like my dad would go, she'd on a payphone, like ringing him, tell your dad it's your nan.
What?
So like making me and my brother...
Yeah,
like
to, my God.
Yeah, so like fucking terrible. I can't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah. Well, that's where all this.
Oh, that's where like, the anger came from. So I was in that position of power, knowing if I told my dad, I would have been responsible for.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's responsible because she. Was
But
putting your children in that position.
Yeah.
So I was protective over my brother. Had to carry that with me, and then deal with everything at school, and then in the press on Richard and Judy, Channel 5 documentary.
Fuck
all
man.
That. Dealing with all that, I just didn't know how to deal with emotions. I wasn't happy about anything, excited about anything. I didn't know how to deal with anger or anything like that. So that just manifested. And then through the various relationships I had after that, they were all classic junior relationships you'd have, but also with the underlying tone of, I've got a very skewed version of what relationships are.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so
no wonder you're angry.
Yeah. Not
and
so
then,
much now.
No. So you've... When so where's your mum now? Do you see her? No.
I haven't spoken to her or seen her since I was 17.
Really?
So my stepmum, as it were, has been my mum for longer than she was.
Fuck
so
me.
As far as I'm concerned, that's it. You know,
she's
I've
done.
Got my mum and dad.
And she's cool. This.
Oh, wonderful.
Your mum.
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, my parents are heroes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But also, I think it's made me a far better, more rounded, smart person for it. I think if I hadn't have been through that, I'd have probably been just some soft shit just floating about. Whereas now I think I'm quite perceptive. I can tell, you know, people's characters and situations or whatever else. So I kind of thank that for happening, for making me the adult that I am and that I'm going
to
be.
That's good that you can do that.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that just goes to show what sort of person you are. That because some people would have just let them. That would have just destroyed them, and then they would have either been cunts to everybody.
Yeah,
like taking out on everybody, or they would have just gone into themselves and become hermits and not lived a life. So
that's what it kind of kicked in my mid-30s and onwards, is I'd start feeling, you know, if anyone's been through like depression, you actually feel that physically. So just being in situations which are perfectly normal, but just sitting there thinking like, well, you've got physical dark clouds around your head, you're burning up, you want to flip tables and you don't know why. But then you've got to hide it from the people that are around you, so your family or your kids or whoever's with you, you've got to hide it, which then makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So I think I got to that point where I was just thinking, I can't. I have another 60 years, because we all die at 100, everyone knows that.
Everyone knows we're 100,
So I can't have another 60 years of my life, like another 2/3 of my life, feeling like this.
Yeah.
So I have to do something.
So you went and had...
Yeah,
would you have psychotherapy to get to the root of the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky enough to get all that stuff with work anyway, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so got all my counselling sessions, some group counselling sessions... tablets every day, but you know, I'd just recommend it to everyone. They should do counselling at school.
Yeah,
on a curriculum. That's something because we learn, like we learn about some history, we learn about some maths, we learn about some literature, we learn about all that.
Yeah,
but we don't learn how to survive as an adult.
No,
we don't learn how to process your thoughts or deal with emotions or understand other human beings.
That's it.
You're just lucky that if you're interested in that, you might read a book.
Yeah.
If you work in an environment like I do and other people in like bigger companies, you get that training, that education, okay. That behavioural training.
Yeah.
But most school kids,
no,
they can't survive them. They're not told you how to.
No.
What utility bills are.
Oh, mate.
How to get a mortgage or all that. Yeah, kind of,
it's what Jade talks about this exact stuff in a new show.
Yeah.
She's like, I know how to grow cress out of fucking cotton wool.
Yeah.
Why do I know how to do that when I don't know how to pay my tax?
Well, good at gluing.
Yeah. And I had a best shaped pasta
yeah.
to stick to sugar paper.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to talk to my fellow man.
Yeah.
Like, I hated school. And I've said this on many podcasts. If anyone's ever listened, I fucking hated school. Yeah, no one's listening. There's not no one. Point to this. Yeah. I hated school because it was boring. If you'd have taught me stuff, I reckon, like about how the world works and how to get your head around it and, you know, and what it means to be a human being, I might have, because I'm really into that. Whereas when I was a kid, I didn't give a fuck about, I didn't give a shit about who got shot with an arrow in 1066. Yeah. Or didn't interest me. I don't give a shit.
Who was shot with an arrow?
Wasn't it King Norman? Was it King Norman? Yeah. King Norman got shot in the head, in the eyes.
They had a cracking tapestry, didn't
they? Yeah, they did, yeah. I don't know how he did it with one eye.
My second favourite tapestry.
Yeah. Second?
Yeah.
He's a first.
Yeah. Carole King's tapestry.
Ah, he always brings it back to the tunes.
Absolutely, yeah. But that's the other thing that, on reflection, my dad, who's been a teacher, head teacher all his life, God brings up as well, is that you learn, you're studious at the wrong time in your life.
Mm.
So when you're like 11 to 18, you need to be learning life shit.
Yes.
Not textbook stuff.
Yeah. Just to pass
exams.
That's
why so many adults go to, just to learn something, to recall it for an exam.
And so then it's in the numbers for the school look good.
Yeah. And then all the kids who are sort of wild and hard to teach in school get destroyed, yet they're usually the talented ones, the creative ones, the ones that will make a difference.
Yeah.
That just have it whipped out of
them. Yeah, Dane Baptiste talks about it on his one, saying about how there's different kinds of intelligence. Like, just because you're not book smart doesn't mean you're stupid.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, smart in another way.
Yeah, and if you think of like a lot of the like most successful, famous people in the world who have like started massive companies or millionaires or whatever, they're all school dropouts.
Yeah.
They just had a different way of thinking.
Yeah. So did you finish school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished school.
After all that.
3 years at college, yeah.
Yeah,
did it all. But again, that's because that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I just stopped going to school.
Yeah.
I got to 16 and I was supposed to have exams and that. And I just didn't, couldn't remember when they were and just didn't go. So I sort of came away with, I've lied on so many job applications. I genuinely think I've got an A in chemistry. Yeah. But I don't know.
Believe your own lies.
Yeah. I've lied about it so many times, I've convinced myself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've got an A in maths, A in English,
yeah.
A in chemistry.
And then you wouldn't be here doing what you were doing if you'd have gone through that. Like,
no.
I wish that all the stuff that I do now, like the producing, that whole creative thing in me, didn't start until maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, really?
Like early 30s.
Yeah.
I wish I knew, or had the time or the confidence or the understanding to do it way back when I was like 19.
Yeah, 20. But then, I mean, I say that with comedy. Like, I know comics that have been going since they were 19 and it's like, fuck, I didn't start until I was 32.
Yeah.
But to look back and be going, oh, I wish I'd started early. It's like, well, you didn't. So you did it at the time that you were supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. And just be grateful that you found it at all, which is like you with the producing.
Yeah.
And so at least you're doing it and you're still relatively young enough to have a long time doing it, so you know.
Yeah.
That's and by the way, you already think of it that way. You seem to be a very positive dude.
Yeah.
You've
got to do what you love, right?
Yeah. Which is why we.
Well, my other mate, invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't, do they?
No. They invest in everything around them, or dismiss that self help or that self development.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got time for it, but you've got time to plow through stuff that has nothing to do with you.
Oh, mate, you
in
can
in the long run.
You can
everything short term.
I always say this to Jade. I'm like, well, you can sit on your phone on Twitter for 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's 3 hours where you could be doing anything else.
Yeah,
anything else. You know, don't social media will always be there. It's and we're all addicted to it, so you need to come away.
Yeah,
and do that.
You can sit on there for 3 hours, but what's the output?
Yeah.
What have you gained from that 3 hours? If you've gained another 50 followers and another couple of tickets to a gig, then do it again.
Yeah.
If you haven't,
there's no point. That's what she always says, though. She's always like, oh, well, I'm just building up the fan base and all that. I'm like, you're not. You're arguing with someone over back on Twitter about Jamila Jamil.
Angry. Been on there for too long.
Yeah.
That's why I come off Facebook.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it anymore.
Well, Facebook's getting to a point where it's just my mum doing all the quizzes.
It's not kids anymore.
No.
All kids are Snapchat.
Yeah, kids. Is, yeah, they're gone. They're long gone.
Yeah.
They're long gone. It's like we talk to television people and they're like, oh, well, we're going to put these people on the television because that's what the young people want. You know, young people ain't watching telly.
No.
They're watching YouTube. Yeah. They're doing other things.
That's what all my girls do is watch YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube and Snapchat, they're all over that shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This show is made by Dark Horse Digital. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.
Which is why podcasts, I think, are like a sort of a new punk.
Yeah.
Because you can say what you want, you can do what you want, you can make
when
a podcast. Yeah, you can do a podcast whenever you like, whack it out whenever you want.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
Like normal people speaking how people speak.
Yes.
And having an opinion on something, and that's that, not.
Yeah,
telling you what to think or say.
Exactly. That's why people like this podcast, because it's people that sound like them talking the way that they talk. I hear other podcasts talking about mental health, but they've got a series of questions and it's all mapped out and it's all sort of, anyway, tell me about your mother, which we know we've done, but we've done it in a way that we would in the pub.
Mm.
And that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, because that's 90% of people.
Yeah. Well,
if you look at any advert, it's only represents like 10%
of
people. So for example, even when you see like, you know, the Ocean Finance, all those like lending companies where you have to pay like 1500% of money
back.
The people on there are living in this lovely spotless massive home.
Yeah,
they're not the people who need to fucking live.
Nah.
It doesn't represent them.
Nah.
Or even like the classic one where when we were driving up, there was a billboard that said, are you beach body ready?
Right, yeah.
Go to the beach. How many people actually look that on the
beach? Yeah, no one's doing that. Yeah,
the rest of it.
Tash. Yeah.
You're one of those four people. Everyone else just looks.
The rest of us, if you have a three.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in the bottom three.
But that's the classic stuff that's just drilled into everybody through whatever form of media.
Yeah.
This very small percentage of people.
Yeah.
Is what you need to look like or sound like or act like or buy like or.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
It's so unattainable.
People's fucking normal.
Yeah, if you were to look like that, you wouldn't have time to go to the beach because you'd be in the gym.
Yeah.
And if you weren't at the gym, you were doing steroids. And then you're doing your steroids, you're back at the gym.
Yeah.
And by then, the sun's gone down.
And there's nothing wrong with going to the gym.
No.
Or looking after yourself, staying healthy.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it at all, but you don't want to feel ashamed of how.
No, which is what they do. Yeah. But it's all about money, isn't it? Everything out there, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel your money getting tugged out of your wallet by someone somewhere. Everyone's trying to fuck you, and not in a good way. And it's depressing. And this is why we're all anxious now, because we're just bombarded with shit all the time, and there's no escape. And we're getting into social media and we're making it worse for ourselves.
Yeah.
By still being plugged into it. This is why we're all a fucking mess.
Yeah. So where like parents these days need to step up to that next level, ensure their kids are still thinking savvy.
Yeah.
I don't mind my girls being on Snapchat and Instagram and all that, but I know that I've done enough to make them savvy.
Yeah.
So that they can detach or dislocate that from their own reality.
How's the relationship with your kids? Is it because you're not with a mum anymore, are you?
No.
Because you're attached.
No. Yeah.
That would be weird.
If you'd have gone, cleared that up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if you'd have gone, well, actually.
Yeah, well.
I'm glad I brought you here.
Yeah. No, my relationship with my kids is absolutely fantastic. I'm like, I couldn't be more proud of them. I've got three. I've got a boy who's four.
Okay.
Then a 17-year-old and a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm blessed with them. With them kids. But since the day my eldest was born, up until today, I've always had that relationship.
That's nice.
Because I've always wanted to be the parent that kids want to have, right?
Yeah.
And again, I've been inspired off my dad, off my new mum. I don't know, get that blur, right?
New mum.
Off those, you know, I see how great parents are, and I just want to emulate that. The generosity, the love, the kindness, the support that my parents give is just exactly what I want to filter down to the kids.
Brilliant.
And I'd say shit flows downwards, right? So you're only a product of your parents and your environment.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that they've got one opportunity to have me as a dad, and I'm going to make sure that I take that responsibility to give them the best.
That's amazing.
Spring ball for life, right?
I've had it, because I was a young dad like you, so I've been great pretty much all of it, but I've had moments where I've not been, only because I was struggling with my own shit, broke up with their mum years ago, so, you know, I was a bit unreliable to start with and shit like that, but I've made amends now. I spoke to my eldest recently and I just said to him, I said, I'm sorry if I was shit. And he's like, you weren't shit, you're fine.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
That's the pressure
we
put on ourselves. Like Tasha, the amount of like guilt.
Oh, guilt. Guilt is awful. Yeah.
I put on myself.
Part and parcel of being a parent is guilt.
Yeah.
No matter if you're Mary Poppins, you'll always feel guilty about something.
Yeah. You said to me, the one of the best bits of advice you gave me was don't transfer my emotions onto them.
Yeah,
and like when you step back and look objectively at your kids and see they're acting fine and talking fine and living fine, it's managing to separate the emotion from the fact.
Yeah,
and just not be constantly like guilty or whatever. I think I said to the girls once, like, I know you think your parents are like superheroes, but we are human. Like, I'm a human being and I'm going to go through some stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm always going to be as available as possible for you guys.
I'm the same with my lads. They know that if the shit is the fan, they can ring me anytime, day or night.
Yeah.
And like I say to them in money, because they're always like, oh, I don't like to ask. I'm like, well, you ask. I'd rather you ask me. Yeah. And like I say to them, if I've got it, you can have it. If I haven't, you can't. It's as simple as that. But never not ask me.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to have that relationship.
Yeah.
And it's nice that you've got that as well.
Yeah.
And it's good with the mother and my kids. We even though at times we hated each other, we never used the kids against each other. Mm. We never bribed each other.
Mm.
We always made sure that the kids were fine, even though we were fucking at each other.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the same with you.
We always had the belief that the parents need to be aligned.
Yeah.
So whether you do or don't agree with
each
other, if the kid's been told off, it isn't about us not agreeing. It's about the kid understanding authority and respecting the decisions as adults.
But we struggle with that a couple of times.
But since, like, I don't want to talk too much because it's still ongoing, but since the split, that's a little hazy. Like, I've been really poked with a lot of guilt.
Yeah, of course you have.
In how I've been able to do things and stuff, which I completely disagree with, and I think I've, you know, been helped to see through that a lot. But you know, way back there was definitely, this is for the kids' benefit, not our benefit.
You sound like you're doing all the right things, and now you're working for Apple, and you're producing. Fucking great, man.
I'm doing lots of stuff, investing in myself.
Like investing in yourself stuff.
Can I share the gratitude thing? Like, we think positive a lot, and you understand, like, negative energy just brings you down.
Yes.
So if you're with somebody that's difficult and hard work, you feel shattered, and that's just your emotional energy depleting, right?
Are you listening, Jade? Yeah, go on.
So you need to restore that energy, like, like a rechargeable battery, right? You use that battery, you need to charge it up again, you know, overnight, whatever, get your rest, get your sleep, have a decent meal, whatever it is, to recharge it back up. And we've been talking recently, you know, Tash introduced me into this, is positive thinking. So if for some reason the human race, we're hardwired to be cynical, skeptical, negative. Or at least in Britain we are, right?
Well, I'm saying, Ruby Wax, I'm reading her book at the minute. This has been mentioned on a podcast before. She's got a bit in it where she explains why we are predisposed to negativity.
Oh,
so it goes back to when there was danger.
Yeah.
And it made you, if you're a bit more cynical, it made you more, you're more wary and looking around and looking for danger. That's why we are, the way, that's why we lean more towards that. If you were positive all the time, like she said in the book, you'd be run over by a lorry by by midday because you're
too busy skipping and whistling.
Skipping and whistling, exactly what she says.
Yeah, knocked over by horse and cart, bang.
Yes.
Done.
So that's why that is. So keep going.
Well, that's the thing. So if you listen to any like break room conversation or pub conversation, it's generally, this is shit, this was shit, this nasty thing happened to me, I hate this, I hate that.
Mm.
It's all negative. And that brings, negativity breeds negativity, right? So that negative things will only ever happen to you. You'll only ever be in that constant doldrum. Whereas if that's correct for negativity, surely you can flip it and that can be correct for positivity.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking, today's going to be great, I have a great conversation, I'm going to do something nice for somebody, I'm going to have a nice dinner, whatever you're going to do, that will happen as well.
Mm.
So it's just completely rewiring your whole process into being positive. So even little things like when you wake up, what are you grateful for? So this morning when I woke up, it's the first morning I've done it, but this morning I'm like, I'm grateful for the kids I've got, I'm grateful for Tash, I'm grateful for the friends that I have, I'm grateful for the people that I'm meeting, I'm grateful for this opportunity, I'm grateful for hardcore listing, I'm grateful for my the small amount of talents that I've got.
Yeah.
And already you feel better.
That's amazing.
And I've had a much better day for it.
Yeah.
Whereas a few months ago I'm like, I can't get out of bed, I'm in the shittiest situation ever, I can't face going into work, I can't face any conversation I might be having with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Thus, I spend the next day, 2 days, panicking about all that shit.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
I've thought about it once the last couple of days. All I've thought about is I've got some really good stuff coming.
Brilliant.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is. That I've said this to people. I have to physically say it out loud, stop being a prick, get out of bed, go and go for a walk. And it's fucking hard. To get your shoes on and go for a walk.
Right, little victories.
It's like, so good.
Like, I signed off work back in January.
Yeah, right.
And I couldn't get out of bed.
No.
Couldn't. But then that little victory was like coming out of your body.
Yeah.
Putting your trainers on.
Yeah.
Going out, coming back, putting the rest of your clothes on. Going out. And that little hour, 2 hours walk that I had day, those little tiny victories. And then I expanded that a bit. And then I'd travel to different little towns like Stamford or Corinham or Tilbury or Basildon, go in the charity shops,
find
through some records and start gently getting yourself back.
Yeah,
you know, 3 weeks later I was buzzing, couldn't get back to work, whereas 3 weeks before that I couldn't get out of bed and I wanted to top myself.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible. It is,
but it's just that positive thinking,
it's mad, isn't it?
It's insane. Yeah.
And it's when I say to people, say it out loud, say it, get dressed, just say it, shout it, go and get dressed, you fat prick.
Yeah.
go out. And I did it today. I got back last night really late, and then this morning I'm up and I'm on my laptop, and then I kept looking at the time, like, I'll go for a walk in a minute, and I'm like, fuck it, it's Sunday, what's the point? But I'm like, go out, you fucking asshole. So I went out and it was lovely. I walked all the way along the water, walked up, and it was fucking great. And on the way back I bought chicken, I'm gonna have a nice dinner, and it's
See? What happened is you put yourself out to the universe and the universe gave back.
Gave me a chicken.
He gave me a chicken. If you hadn't gone out, you'd have probably scrabbled around for like a few bits of crisps.
I would have had toast. And
crisps on toast.
Yeah.
And then just been furious with yourself for the rest of the night.
I would have been. It's like Saturday night. This weekend, I've been away. And it's usually, because I've got mates in Sheffield, and we go out and we get pissed and we do whatever. And this weekend, I went, I'm not doing it. And it was like, I thought you were coming out. I'm like, no, I can't. I haven't got any money. And two, I'm like, I don't want to. Mm. And so they just put you up in this house. So I went back to there. And on the way back, I'm like, fuck it, I'll get a pizza because I'll treat myself. I'll have a pizza. Mm. I didn't. I went to the house and I waited in for the other comic I was staying with. And we sat there. I had a bowl of muesli. We watched videos on YouTube. We had a laugh. And I'm like, Ah, oh, it's fucking great. Yeah. And I didn't have a pizza.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. So it's little things
little
like
victories
that.
Every yes. single day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't control your past or change it or affect it.
No.
But if you make the right choice every hour of the day, then yeah. your future will map out in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't predict the future, but you can no. you can take them steps towards it by just making better choices every day. Right?
Yeah, keeping busy as well. Do you keep yeah. busy with your producing and you do music as well, don't you?
Sometimes, I don't know if you're like this with your creative process, but you'll get to a point where you're not emotionally connected with it.
Mm.
You're a bit knackered with it.
Yeah.
You still need to keep doing it because it's your muscle memory. You've got yeah. to keep writing and writing and writing.
Yes.
And the best time to create is when you don't want to do it, right?
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, Pip told me this, is that if you just sit down when you're excited, you'll only do what you know, just to get rid of that adrenaline.
Yeah.
Whereas if you sit down and force yourself to do it, it's a bit like going to the gym.
Yeah.
You've got to go to the gym when you fancy it. You've got to keep working out
yeah.
so that you get better results. So it's just that muscle memory. So
you're right, you know, because I...
This little step back yeah, I've had...
I have that.
I've feel like I'm getting more and more creative. So I'm watching... I watch YouTube videos and stuff mm. and I talk to, you know, guys at work who are much better at me than doing stuff. And I feel like I'm learning more by not doing it.
Mm.
So I'm really excited when I finally get a bit of time or when I manage to move out my parents and get a place to live and I set all my stuff back up again.
Yeah.
I think I'll be better than I was.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
really excited about that. So I'm not punishing myself
no.
for not having... I've got tons of shit in the bank. Don't mm. get me wrong. Like, I've got loads of like projects and unfinished stuff and I still put a few things out. But my energy at the minute is like Hulk listing off
yeah.
the main track and the other ones. But
and your personal life.
And my personal life, yeah. which, you know, is super important because I need to move that forwards.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Times are ticking.
Yeah.
Tash is waiting.
Pressure is on.
Yeah, the pressure is on.
Yeah.
That, but you shouldn't feel pressured to put stuff out when you've got your own
yeah.
stuff to deal
yeah.
with.
Yeah, so what yes. I'm doing is I'm trying to is continue to promote the stuff that I do have.
Mm.
Because it's the one thing I hear all the time is, like, I'll say to somebody, oh, you're a producer, cool, let me hear something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's well old.
Oh yeah,
doesn't matter.
They've not heard it.
To music from 1973.
True, mm. true.
I'm not going. Oh, this is. I'm not going to listen to it.
Yeah, man.
Your audience will hear it for the first time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you've moved
true.
On from it.
True.
So you might write a joke that you've done a few times, but if I hear it for the first time, I'm going to love it, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go, Rich, is that joke 8 years old?
Yeah.
Why can't you tell me that?
Yeah.
Rob Beckett said that, and I keep mentioning him because Rob Beckett, over the years since I've known him, has given me some really good advice.
Yeah.
And I was doing Edinburgh. And I'm going, oh, I've got to do a new hour because I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And he's like, but this is, he goes, why? He goes, this is your first proper Edinburgh.
It's not the same crowd.
Yeah. It's not the same crowd. And they're not going to know.
That's a common thing. Like yeah. This is just a stupid example, but at work we have a meeting in the morning and mm. we'll have a conversation and stuff and answer a few questions. And then when the afternoon people come in, we'll have like an afternoon meeting, do the same thing.
Yeah.
And what you find is whatever went wrong in the first meeting, when you go to the second meeting, whoever's hosting it will talk about all the stuff that went wrong. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
They're new people. They don't care.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
I remember going to like a recruitment event for the company I work for and the guy that was doing it with me started apologising that he'd used all the wrong fonts on like the keynote presentation. Like, they don't fucking care. They don't know. Like, you've immediately undermined the keynote that you've made.
Yeah.
All they're thinking about now is, I wonder what font that is. Is it Helvetica New? Is it
Tom? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Sounds coming from Roman. I don't
They're
know.
They're your new audience.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Do the same shit all the time to different audiences.
Yeah. Up and left because it's been the wrong font.
I did. I fucking stormed out. I was like, "You prick! It's supposed to be Helvetica New, italic, thin, 12-point."
Yeah. And then just threw his chair across the room.
Yeah, caught one of the new starters in
yeah.
the face.
Fuck you.
Yeah, dead now.
Cool. He's angry, isn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't work for Apple anymore.
No,
that's he's... not who I work for. By the way, I work for a big technology company.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks.
And on that bombshell,
yeah. But it sounds like you're doing all right.
Yeah.
You've been
because
through
of
it
the people that I'm meeting
yeah.
over the last couple of years, the last year, the last 6 months, the last six days. The people that I'm meeting are all the people that are bringing me forward, and I sincerely hope that's the same for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Don't ignore coincidences.
No.
If you put yourself out there, something unexpected will happen.
Yes.
And I learned that. I read it somewhere. Never ignore a coincidence because it happens for a reason.
Yeah, right.
A bit like the whole, I don't know if you do it, but you know, if you look at your phone or a clock or a watch or and it's double numbers, like 11-11 or 12-12 or 13-13, whatever it might be. Four ones, four three. You can't have four threes on the clock. What I'm talking about? Four twos, 22-22.
Yeah, four threes. It's 33-33.
It means something. Yeah, don't ignore a coincidence. So meeting you, meeting Tash, meeting Stu, meeting Chris,
yeah,
those kind of things.
It's all things, yeah, because I'm predisposed to go, oh, I'm not doing that. I don't fancy that. I'll make myself look a tit, so I'm not going to go. Yeah. Or, yeah, I'll just...
What have you missed out by not going?
Exactly.
The anxiety, the negative emotion,
yes,
stops you...
Exactly.
Or doing something, or even making a connection that might come back,
yes,
further down the line.
Which goes back to what you said about doing something even when you're not in the mood.
Yeah.
I always now go, fuck it, I'll go. Yeah. Fuck it, I'll go. It's so easy to go, oh, listen, I can't make it.
Yeah.
And, but just do it. Go and do
but
it.
Even if something doesn't come of that, you weren't sitting in doing fuck all.
No, exactly.
You didn't give in to the negative emotion.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Keep moving forward, yeah, and being positive. All right. This has been great.
Thank you, Rich.
Nice one.
So thoroughly enjoyed it.
Where can we find your work? Can we find it online?
You can. So 76, spelled S-V-N-T-Y.
Yeah.
Essentially 70 without the E's.
I like that.
With the numeral 6 at the end.
I like having you in my phone as 76.
Yeah.
It makes me look so fucking cool. Who's 76? Oh, he's a producer. Scroobius Pip and that. Oh, yeah, cool, man. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
What's he like? I've only met him twice.
Yeah, so at 76, yes, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And then on there you'll find links to my Bandcamp page where you've got all my instrumental projects. I like making instrumental hip hop. I've got some albums on there with MCs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my stuff's on
there.
Yeah,
I've listened to some of your stuff. It's fucking great, man.
Appreciate
yeah,
that.
Very talented, man.
Appreciate that.
So that's where we can find you.
And if you're a vinyl fan.
Yes.
As Rich and I are.
We are.
You can search me on YouTube and I do little walkthroughs of my beats, but also I talk about some of the records I found in charity shops. So you can watch me on YouTube talking about why I bought this record and what hip hop track it was sampled on and what it
means
to me.
Nice. This has been great.
Yeah, it has been great, Rich.
Thanks for coming down to 76 and Tash.
Thanks for inviting us.
Good luck for everything. I'm sure you two lovely people will be fine because we've learnt so much about the shit we've done before. It can only be positive now, can't it?
It can only be.
Yes.
Yeah.
See?
It's all within our control and our grasp and our choices.
Yeah. Insane in the membrane. So that was 76. He's a good lad, isn't he? What an amazing story as well. I couldn't believe it when he started telling me. And I was like, what? Okay. It was amazing, wasn't it? Because you hear these stories in the news, didn't you? So it was really interesting. He was very open and honest. So nice one, 76. Thanks for coming down, man. And if go back to some of our older episodes while I've got you. Last week we had Reginald D. Hunter and Tom Rhodes, which was a great chat. We did that in Reginald D. Hunter's garden. There's also Matt Stocks. So Matt Stocks, he was a DJ with Kerrang. Very interesting dude. And simultaneously, I've put out his episode of this podcast and my episode of Life in the Stocks that we recorded on the same day. So, you lucky people. You get to hear me talking shit for fucking ages. So, big shout out to producer Paul again. And thank you to Acast and everybody else. Thank you for listening to everyone. And we'll catch you next week. Cheers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.